Talking to you today with the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Oklahoma Congressman Frank Lucas. Congressman, the super committee has met this week already. It's starting to lay out some of their groundwork of trying to come up with that $1.2 trillion worth of deficit reduction. At this point, have you started any sort of work with your colleagues on the House Ag Committee about what you may try to do regarding recommendations by mid-October, which is your due date for getting those to that committee?
Essentially, Ron, we're at a point in time where the so-called super committee is still trying to pull themselves together. They have not gotten to the point of sending any signals or indications to the authorizing committee, such as agriculture, what they expect from us, if they expect anything. I have not had a chance since I've returned back to D.C. yet to cross-reference with Colin and see if he still has the same opinions that he had about sequestration and making recommendations and those kind of issues. But I will say this, the efforts to communicate both at a staff level have begun, and on a personal level, I just, the first chance I have to lay hands on my three Republican members in particular on the House side of the Super Committee, and for that matter, a conversation with the Speaker, too, about some overall writing issues, that's my highest priority now that we're back in session after the August work period.
Congressman, I know a lot of folks would like to dictate to you and to the Senate exactly what programs need to be eliminated from farm program spending, but all along you've told us that you would prefer just a number and then try to work the pieces out yourself.
Exactly, and that's the point that I intend to press upon the super committee. Just give the Agriculture Committee a number. Hopefully it'll be a fair number, hopefully a reasonable number, hopefully a number that is in proportion to what's expected of other committees. But give us a number and give us the flexibility then to come back at you with language that would implement that number so that whatever is done, if something happens, agriculture can live with it. The Farm Bill, in its comprehensive nature, and it's difficult sometimes for members of the Congress who are not from country areas, from rural districts, from ag districts, to understand, it's the intertwined nature of all the parts of the Farm Bill. You can't just rip out whole sections and expect the remaining sections to function correctly and well. So right now, securing an indication from the super committee as to what their expectations are money-wise, and then getting an indication, hopefully, or persuading them to give an indication that we'll be able to control our own fate, which is important for rural agriculture, rural America, the Ag Committee to do that is key. But I would say this in the overarching issue, you and I have discussed many times before, if I had my preference, I would write a regular order, a farm bill under regular order next summer. The way the circumstances are unfolding up here, we may well have to move in some kind of an expedited fashion. I can't give you a timeline yet as to how that would be because simply I don't know what to expect to what kind of expectations that will be thrust upon us by the super committee. But bottom line is, there's going to be less money spent on ag. Whether it's a hurry-up farm bill this fall or a regular farm bill next summer, there's going to be less money spent. Just how much money less is the question, and how much control the ag committee will have over those decisions, where, by the way, the decision should be made.
Congressman, since last we talked, several groups have come out with some farm program statements, and it seems like very few folks are saying we need to try to hang on, for example, to direct farm program payments at all costs. Instead, a lot of talk about some sort of a crop insurance type program, including National Cotton Council, with those kind of comments in a farm program statement in just the last few days.
That's the direction that a number of groups are going. And remember, early on in this process, I said to the various groups, you understand your part of the industry better than anybody alive. You understand what's worked in past farm bills, what has not worked. If you've got some suggestions, some proposals, lay it on us. So, yes, I'm looking very carefully, and the committee will be at what the National Cotton Council has recommended. But understand, we have to write a comprehensive farm bill that will work for everybody. I appreciate fully with the Brazilian case and the other issues the particular pressure that our cotton producers have been under and their willingness to look outside the box. But the bottom line remains, we have to have policy that will work for everybody and even for particular groups that will work year in and year out. And that's what we're trying to study now.
course, when we start talking about a crop insurance type product, crop insurance itself is not a part of the actual farm bill. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair description. And the key we have to remember here is most of the concepts of crop insurance are not only yield focused, but a shift towards revenue consideration too. When you have high commodity prices, as we've had now for the last few years, revenue assurance, however you want to describe it, would seem like a good thing. But those products, as they're presently created, if over a period of time the price drops, then that safety, that part of the safety net, that guarantee goes away. And also remember, under existing federal crop insurance, if you have a number of losses because of weather, what if the great drought of the Southwest this time, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Arkansas, Louisiana, what if this turns out to be like the drought of the 50s, a multi-year experience? Under present crop insurance, your safety net effect there begins to collapse after the first, second years of drought. I worry about those things, Ron. So I can't just have a policy that would work in an area where you would raise 9 crops out of 10, where you've got record demand for your product, not just from traditional consumers of the product, but other alternatives too. I've got a policy that will work for everybody and work in all climates and in all environments. That's what makes this so tough. And you do that on top of how much less money will we have to craft these new programs.
Congressman, I know that you have sent a letter to EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson. And, of course, since last we talked, the president has backed away from at least one EPA regulation regarding smog. Nothing directly related to agriculture as of yet, but is this something that you're hopeful maybe the administration will consider?
Exactly, I am, Ron. And that's why the House Agriculture Committee started in January with this series of oversight hearings looking at EPA dust, spray, water rules, USDA, gyps, all those things, trying to bring as much attention as possible to what was being proposed by the administration. Perhaps this is the first step with the administration stepping back on this rule of a realization that what they're doing potentially has such a, what they would like to do potentially has such a negative economic impact that in a time of 1.9% national unemployment, chronic unemployment over an extended period, you just can't do things that are destructive to economic activity. Maybe this is the first of a series of correct policy moves, whether that's good policy understanding on their part or political survival, I don't know. But I liked what I heard when the president backed off of the EPA's efforts.
Congressman, one subject we haven't really touched on today, and that is this issue of conservation program spending. A lot of folks are looking at that, and those outside the farm community saying, "Hey, that's a great pot of money to cut back on substantially. Doesn't need to be there." I know this is going to be probably one challenge during this next farm bill cycle.
I think depending on what number you look at, and we've had everything from $11 billion in reductions in ag spending to numbers as high as $40-plus billion and all combinations in the middle. When you're talking about that kind of money, there's only $60-some billion in baseline in the Title I commodities. So you've got to take, if they expect reductions in spending of a big magnitude, it's got to come out of other areas too. But I would say this, in the conservation programs, those are probably the most popular across the country as a whole. When it's time to restore program funding, the economy will get better. The federal budget situation will get better with time and wise decisions. It will be easier to restore conservation funding than any other potential funding of programs in this or future farm bills.
On the subject of trying to coordinate with Ms. Stabenow over in the Senate Agriculture Committee, any conversations as yet with her regarding timing this fall regarding farm policy?
We have, on a staff level, ongoing conversations. I have not spoken to the chairwoman since we went home for August, but I would say this. I am beginning to believe that there's a strong bipartisan working relationship on the Senate Ag Committee between her and Ranking Member Roberts. Right now, from a legislative perspective, the Senate has been one of the most difficult places to move things through. We've passed bills in the House, they don't pass in the Senate. If they can craft the kind of relationship that I believe will come together and speak in a unified voice, then it makes it much easier for those of us in the House to come to an understanding with a unified Senate Ag Committee that we can all support and live with in agriculture.
Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Oklahoma lawmaker Frank Lucas. We talked to Mr. Lucas before President Obama's job speech, so we were not able to ask any specifics regarding that particular address of the congressman. Have a good day, everybody. Ron Hayes on the Radio Oklahoma Network on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.